bring you greetings again from Northside Baptist Church in Elkton. And as Brother Dan mentioned, we'll be having our conference starting Thursday night. And I know some of you have said you've come in our way, and we'll enjoy everyone that does. And normally, if I made a trip like this, I'd probably stay through Sunday and head back Monday morning. But with the conference starting Thursday, there's just tons of work that I need to get done. And so we're going to travel back this after church this morning. And so you pray for us as we travel, that the Lord will give us traveling mercies. Aaron was up here this weekend also, and I know a lot of you would have liked to have seen him. But he and his wife have to be to work tomorrow morning, and they've got probably between 13 and 14 hours of travel back to Alabama. So be in prayer for them also. And this morning, we'd like to invite your attention to Leviticus chapter 6. We've been studying the book of Leviticus on Wednesday nights. And I believe this is the first time in my whole ministry that I've ever preached the message that I've been preaching in a series at wherever I've been. But as I studied this message earlier this past week, I was just jumping up and down within my heart studying this. Leviticus, I don't know how many times I've read the book of Leviticus, but this is the first time I've ever really studied it. And Leviticus is full of types and pictures. And if you look and study deeply in these types and pictures, of course, they all are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And but if you look at the types and the pictures and the fulfillment of them and what they're telling us, it will thrill your heart as far as our salvation is concerned. And not only that, and what we see in this reading this morning, and the things that Christ and the fulfillment of his sacrifice has taken us away from, that which we deserve. As we want to begin reading in verse 8 of Leviticus 6 this morning, it says, "And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire shall be, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood in it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." So this here is the law of the burnt offering. And as you read the previous chapters here, and he talks about the burnt offering, the burnt offering is a offering for sin. In fact, all these offerings represent a type of sin, but as the sacrifice was brought to the door of the courtyard, and whoever was bringing this offering, as they would have put their hands upon the offering, whether it be a bullock or a lamb or a ram or a goat, whatever it was, the turtle doves, whatever they brought, they would put their hands upon the head of this offering, and they would confess or acknowledge their sin, whatever they had committed. And there's various sins, but this is the burnt offering. And the offerings that was the burnt offering, after they had confessed their sins and the sacrifice had been slain, they would take it, the priest would take it in. In this case here, we see that they was to lay the parts in order. They was to dismember that sacrifice and lay them in order upon the brazen altar, and they was to burn them. And here we see it was not just they went in and they burned it, but it was an overnight burning. And we'll speak some on what, show you what that symbolizes here in a few moments. But as we look at this, first of all, when he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," when you get in your mind where this was received, Moses received this law on Mount Sinai. So as he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, not receiving just the tables of stone, but the entire law. The entire law. In the book of Leviticus, of course, is the Levitical law, and which doesn't just apply to the Levites, but it applies to us. Especially as you get further over, and he talks about the moral portion here. But here, get in your mind, Moses is up here on Mount Sinai, receiving this. And during this time, the Israelites are down in the valley, and they're saying, "Well, this Moses, he's deserted us." And this during this time was when they coerced Aaron to build this, make the golden calf, and they danced around it and so forth. And part of that, remember, this is idolatry. That would have been adultery. So they would have had to make a sacrifice for this. But just bear in mind then that this is Moses upon Mount Sinai receiving this law. And as he received it, it says, "Command Aaron and his sons." Now Aaron and his sons, Aaron was the high priest, and his sons by birth followed him upon his death. And what were the high priests? They were standing in Christ's stead at this time. They were standing in his stead. They were, as the sacrifices were brought, and they were taken in, whichever one they would be, they were standing in Christ's stead, and all these sacrifices that they made for the people, Christ fulfilled in his sacrifice. But this is the commandment. What does this mean? It means they were to be charged to their conduct this offering as instructed. And this is not the first time that this word has been used. The first place we find it used is back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. This was when Adam was in the garden, and God instructed him on what he could do and what he could not do in the garden. And verse 16 and 17 here of Genesis chapter 2 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So as Adam was commanded, he was instructed, he was charged, his conduct was ordered. You can eat of everything in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because Adam ignored that commandment, because Adam ignored these instructions, we have what we have here in Leviticus chapter 6. Aaron and his son standing in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ. But so then as we look at this commandment, and it's the law, it means this is the way it's going to be. It cannot change. During the time before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world and took our place upon Calvary, this was the law. This was the way it was to be conducted. This is the way this symbol was to be pictured. This is the way the high priest was to stand in his stead and perform these various offerings to picture what Christ was to do for us. This is the law of the burnt offering. The fire, and we see in this, shall never go out. Now this burnt offering, which was to be offered after the sins had been confessed, and it was to burn all night long. If you can bear in your mind, as the Israel was camped around the tabernacle, and as the night come on, they could see the fire and the smoke of this burnt offering. This animal, whether it be a bullock, a ram, a lamb, or a goat, or turtle doves, or whatever they were, the smoke and the fire that was consuming this, they were sinned all night long. The fire was not to go out. And as Israel would instruct their children, and everyone that brought those sacrifices, they just didn't confess their sins, but they came in faith, believing that Christ, the Messiah, would come and take care of that of their sins. This was a picture. So as they instruct their children, you see this fire and this smoke, this is what will happen. This is what will take place to your sin if it's not by faith brought here to the tabernacle and confessed. So look back in the book of Revelation for a moment. Revelation chapter 14. And we find here a picture, I believe, which we will see. We will witness this. But we'll already be in our glorified bodies. But this, as we said, this is a reminder of Israel. This is what's going to happen if your sin is not taken care of in the proper way. In verses 11 and or 10 and 11 here, it says this: the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now these, of course, talking about those during the tribulation, but everyone who dies in their sin, everyone who perishes in their sin from this world, the smoke of their torment is going to ascend up forever. And we're going to be witnesses of that in our glorified bodies. But this is a picture of this. This sacrifice, this burnt offering, as it was brought to the tabernacle and laid upon that altar and was consumed with a fire overnight, the smoke and the fire ascended up throughout the night. And now, when we think about these offerings, they were continuous. A person would commit this offense today, they had to bring that sacrifice. If they commit that offense tomorrow, they had to bring a sacrifice again, continuously. And those who die in their sins, the smoke of their torments will continuously ascend up throughout the ages of eternity. So they were teaching their children, this is taking our place. The Messiah is going to take our place. But those who do not repent, those who do not by faith accept this, the smoke of your torments will ascend forever. As he goes on, he says, and the priest shall put on his linen garments, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh. Again, we see types and pictures here. Linen in the scripture is seen as a type of purity. Now, this linen, it was white linen, and it was considered seen as purity. And again, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. He says, and to her, this is the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. But it was purity. White linen. So these priests who are standing in the stead of Christ, they would take off their garments that they had, the priestly garments, and they always had priestly garb, but they would take that off and they would put this white linen clothing on in white breeches. In other words, their body was covered with this white, pure linen. So the purity as the righteousness of saints here we see in Revelation, but I believe this is speaking, and they're standing in Christ's stead, is the righteousness of Christ, the purity of Christ. They were standing there in with the purity of Christ on. And the Israelites, as they would see these priests put on this white linen, they're seeing a picture or a type of their Messiah, who is going to be of the most pure and holy in this world, without sin. And we also, then we see this, that the righteousness and the nakedness of their sin. And remember, after Adam fell in the garden, and God came to the garden, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" And he says, "We hid ourselves because we was naked." "Who said thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of that which I have forbidden thee?" Of course, we know God went on and pronounced judgment against the serpent, and give the promise of the Messiah, pronounced judgment upon Eve and upon Adam, and then gave them the coats of skin, and they were clothed in those skins. The righteousness of God pictured there, the pureness of Christ, as innocent blood was shed. But as we see here, the priest putting on these linen garments, it's a picture of us receiving the righteousness of Christ. In the book of Romans this time, Romans in chapter 3, we find here, and we receive this by faith. And bear in mind, all these sacrifices that the Israelites brought to the tabernacle, they just didn't bring them out of ritual. They brought them by faith in the picture of whom they were. But here in the book of Romans, first of all, in verse 21 of chapter 3, he says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Again, everything in the law and the prophets, everything in the Old Testament, pictured what he's going to say here. He says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference." The righteousness of God here is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God we receive. When we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive His righteousness. In other words, His righteousness clothes us before God. We were naked in our sin, but our nakedness of sin is covered by the righteousness of Christ, just as Adam and Eve were clothed in the skins of those innocent animals. And he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins passed through the forbearance of God." Now, as you see this in first part of verse 25, when those Israelites brought these sacrifices to God, to that tabernacle, in faith, they believed that Christ, the one they pictured, was the propitiation for their sin, and that His blood, His righteousness, would cover them. And the priest here standing in His stead was clothed in these white linen clothes, pure and white, showing forth that they're standing in the righteousness of Christ. They're symbolizing the perfectness of Christ, which we would be clothed in. He says, "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And as you look through these sacrifices, and it says the priest would make an atonement for them, and their sins would be forgiven. And this is what we receive in Christ. We receive his righteousness, we're clothed in his righteousness, and we receive the forgiveness of sins. He says, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. In other words, when he would put on these linen clothing, in the picturing the righteousness of Christ, they would take, doesn't say what kind of tools they had, but I'm assuming they had some type of shovel, and the ashes of the burnt offering, they would take them out and they'd lay them beside that altar. This was the first step in taking care of these ashes. They dip them out, lay them beside the altar with these linen breeches, their linen clothings on. So what's going on here? With the righteousness of Christ, the pureness of Christ, as he became sin for us and was nailed to that cross, and the wrath of God came down upon him, he was pure in himself, but he became sin for us, and he suffered the heat of the wrath of God. He suffered every sin of every saint from Adam to the end of time. Every sin he was paying for. And in that he became sin for us, he was worthy. With our sins, he was worthy of suffering the wrath of God. So his body, when it became sin for us, then was tainted with sin. And he paid that eternal price. And the ash, when something is burnt, now Christ didn't become ashes, but you can see our sins in Christ became ashes. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah, when God destroyed it by fire, it was reduced, fire and brimstone was reduced to ashes. You can find that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. They were reduced to ashes. So when you think of our sin as it was placed within Christ, as he became sin for us, and he bore those sins for those 3 hours when the earth was darkened and there was earthquakes upon this earth, our sins were reduced to ashes. In other words, they were consumed in the sacrifice of Christ. He's in verse 11, he goes on, he says, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments. In other words, as the priest would come in those pure white garments and scoop out the ashes of that sacrifice and put them beside the altar, then he would have to take off those linen garments. He'd have to take off that which now was polluted. He put it off. And Christ, when it was finished, when he cried out those words, "It's finished," he had put off our sin. It was taken care of. God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ at that point. He was satisfied that the price or the debt of our sins was taken care of. And now he's going to put off the cross. The cross is going to be behind him. It's done. So they take off these linen garments that were tainted with a sin, and they put on new garments. Christ, when he came out of that grave, he was now pure. He was in a glorified body. He was in a glorified state, just as we're going to receive in the resurrection. In the rapture, we're going to put off this old flesh. It's going to be changed. So when we take off this sin, when we put on that new garment, that new body, so the priest, when the sin was satisfied, he took off those garments that were polluted and put on new garments. This is another priestly suit. It just couldn't be any clothing but what God had decreed for them to wear. We don't just put on any righteousness. We don't just receive any righteousness, but we receive Christ's righteousness, his pureness, his perfectness. He says, and carry forth the ashes without the camp to a clean place. In other words, you know, a lot of us here grew up in an era when we had wood stoves and so forth, coal stoves, and when you would scoop those ashes out, you didn't have a particular, well, we had a particular place, but we didn't worry if it was clean, that's where the ashes went. But here, they had to take the ashes out and put them in a clean place. Couldn't be just any place. It had to be a clean place. And this is like saying, it's finished. This is a clean place. When Christ said, it's finished, the payment of our sin was done. It was over with. And now it's finished. It's a clean place. We are now clean in Christ. It's all forbearing by God. It'll never be brought up again. We'll never be charged with the sin that we've committed in this body. It's taken care of. And it's taken out the ashes thereof and put in a clean place. A clean place. This means it's not molested by sin. It's not tainted with sin. You see, if a sacrifice, any sacrifice, is tainted with the hands of man, it's not pure. It's not clean. It's not acceptable to God. And when we see this, and if you go through the 13th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus was sacrificed outside the gate. It wasn't just any hill that the Romans decided. Now, they may have thought it was, but it was a specific place. It was Calvary. It's where God had decreed. And God, these priests would receive instructions. This is the clean place. This is the place that these ashes have to be disposed of. This is where sin is disposed of. Sin is disposed in our behalf in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our burnt offering. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. This fire upon the brazen altar, it was never to go out. It was never to stop burning. It was to continuously be burning. Just as we've seen already that the fire or the torment of those who are in the lake of fire, they'll burn, they'll suffer, they'll be in torments forever. The eternal flame of the lake of fire will never go out. It's eternal death. It's eternal punishment. And this fire would never go out. As Israel, if they committed, like we said, the same sin today or a like sin, a sin that fell under the one that needed the burnt offering, that fire was always there. It was always burning. And as they would bring that sacrifice to the gate of the tabernacle and they'd place their hands upon that offering and they would confess their sins, confess their guilt, then that would be slain, and that priest would take that offering in, and depending upon what it was, which offering it was, whether they put it holy or skinned it and quartered it and placed it in order, whatever it was. This offering, the fire, would never go out. The fire was never to go out. And when we think about this, and the Lord Jesus Christ, many times in the Gospels, especially Mark and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when he's talked about the fire would never be quenched. He's talking about the lake of fire. That fire will never be quenched. The lake of fire will never cease to burn. And those who die in their sins, they will continue to burn and with fire and brimstone throughout the ages of eternity. You may say, well, how can that happen? they're going to get a body that's fitted for destruction. They're going to receive a body that will burn and never be consumed. They'll have a body that will endure the skin worms that will never die. And we can only imagine and never fully understand the extent of this torment. But this fire that never was to go out was to symbolize or picture to Israel that the consequence of sin, the fire, the burning, the torment would never cease. It would never cease. The consequence of sin, the eternal consequence of sin, it'll never cease. As long as eternity is, which will never end, so will be the consequence of sin. So this fire was never to go out. It was never to end. Israelites, daily would bring their sacrifices. Whether it be peace offerings, burnt offerings, whatever it was, they were continuously bringing these sacrifices. Sins of ignorance. There was a sacrifice for a sin of ignorance. And we sin ignorantly all the time. But every type of sin, when you go through these, every type of sin was covered. And these burnt offerings were to be brought continuously and placed upon this altar. And the fire was never to go out. He says, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay burnt offerings in order upon it, and he shall burn them through thereon the fat of the peace offering. In other words, every morning a priest, and we know there was different orders of the priest. We know Aaron and his sons were to conduct the sacrifices. Whether they are the ones that were to stoke the fire, we're not clear. But we know as a Israelite, it was a priest, it was a son of a Levite, would bring wood in and every morning, and they would stoke that fire enough that it would burn from that time to the next morning, until the ashes were removed. The fire never went out. The ashes were removed, but the fire would never go out. Every morning, someone was responsible. So here we know how the fire never went out, as each morning a priest had enough wood to keep it burning overnight. Now we know the lake of fire, God stokes that. No man's going to stoke it. God's going to keep that fire going forever. And you might say, well, fire eventually will burn out. Not the eternal fire of God. Not the eternal fire of punishment. It'll never go out. And as we see, they put the fat of the peace offering. And these peace offerings, as you go through here, you see every sacrifice they'd bring, as they would open up the cavity, the stomach cavity of those sacrifices, they would remove all the fat around the caul and the kidneys and so forth. And then this is what was placed. You know, the fire is beginning to rise up again. This fat was placed upon there. And what happens to fat when it comes near fire? It melts. And it goes down and it stokes that fire. It causes that flame to come up. So we see this is the flame of torment. And when you look at the fat within these animals, it pictures the best that God has given us. The best that God has offered man. And again, you think of Adam. When he was in that garden, he had the best of everything. He was given one commandment. You can eat of everything except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve, she looked upon that, and she seen it was pleasant to look at, and it was good to eat. What does sin do? It looks pleasant to the eye. It doesn't see any consequence. It's ready to indulge in. So she took it and she ate. So does sin in this way, the fat. You know, many times the world will put decisions before you. You know, why go this way when you can get so much going that way? But that way, many times, is the wrong way. And that way is sin. The fat, the best. But the best, that which you choose to do in this world is going to stoke the fires for you in the lake of fire. It's going to bring out what is going to cost you the most. So as the fat was placed upon there to stoke the fire and be a reminder, again, of the final consequence of sin. Now, see, he's down here in verse 13, he says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. We've already seen it was never to go out, but now it's to ever be burning. It's like an eternal fire. It's ever to be burning. And it's like when we see in John 3 and 36, when those who have not believed, the wrath of God now abideth upon their head. It's not going to be removed. Those who have never believed, the wrath of God abideth upon their head. The flame of the lake of fire, the flames of hell will never be quenched. They'll never cease. That wrath of those who haven't believed is still upon their head, and it will remain there unless they repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When they do, then that guilt, that flame, it was placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fire shall ever be burning. He says, and it shall never go out. Now when you think about this, Israel didn't stay in one spot when they traveled through the wilderness. If you go in the book of Numbers, and it gives you every place they stopped. For 40 years, every place they stopped. And as they received this law, and that fire was never to go out, as those priests would pick up those staves and carry that altar from one place to another, that fire was burning. That fire was burning. Again, as Israel looked on, it was a reminder to them. This is the consequence of sin. This is what happens to sin. And when it will never go out, the fire will never be quenched in the lake of fire. It's by faith. Then they said, we're going to bring our sacrifices. We're going to bring them. This fire will never go out. And real quickly, as we look back in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews in chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, he says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When Jesus, on that cross, when he had finished paying the eternal debt, when he had finished paying the eternal wrath of God during those 3 hours of darkness, it wasn't the blood of bulls or goats. It wasn't the blood of any sacrifice. It wasn't the symbol and the meal offerings and so forth, but it was Christ who offered his body and shed his blood for our sins. It was his blood that will cover your sins, cover our souls, that we will not spend a second in the eternal flame. And this is what he shows us here. And this is what I believe Israel was being taught. And I believe this is what they were to teach their children. As we know in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he tells us, you know, you're to teach these things, not just the Ten Commandments, but you're to teach your children these things diligently. Talk of them when you're in your home. Talk of them when you're out in the world. Show the world that our faith is in what Christ has done for us. In this case here, their faith was telling their children, this is the consequence of sin that is not repented of. This is the consequence of sin that is not covered. The flame, the fire, it will never go out. The consequence of sin will never be quenched in the eternal flame. Oh, how thankful we ought to be that Jesus Christ fulfilled all these symbols, all these pictures. And when you study these things, all these pictures, all these continuous sacrifices, they're all a part of what Jesus fulfilled upon the cross. And he in 3 hours fulfilled everything that we see in the book of Leviticus. Everything that's told about from Genesis 3:15 throughout the Old Testament and what was told us throughout the Gospels, everything was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you know not Christ, we hope and pray at this time that maybe you've gotten a picture, getting an idea of what your sin will cost you if you don't repent and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.